In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, church. It is wonderful to be worshiping today with our four congregations. I have to say that I look forward to this Sunday every year. It means I get to see you all. It means a nice big choir. And it also means I get to sleep in. Emmanuel's first service is at 8 o'clock. So on this Sunday, I set my alarm an hour later, and then I keep hitting the snooze just for fun. But really, this service and the work we do together is a privilege to be part of. So I have an important question to start us off. How many people have seen the movie Independence Day? A nice show of hands, good. For a refresher, it was a summer blockbuster with Will Smith, Bill Pullman, and Jeff Goldblum. It came out in the 90s, and in the movie, aliens have invaded the Earth to wipe out humanity. But the humans band together in a so crazy it just might work plan to defeat their attackers. And if you've seen it, you know how at the end of the film there's this montage when all the people of the world are celebrating in their different languages as the ships once hovering over them are going down in flames. It's a wonderful moment of global unity portrayed as only Hollywood can. But it would be nice if it weren't just a movie. In an address to the United Nations, former President Ronald Reagan once said, "Perhaps we need some outside, universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world." Now, I bring this up not because I plan to preach on aliens today, although that might not be a bad idea, but because it's a decent question. What would happen if we were united against what really threatens us, rather than against each other? In our reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he gives instruction to this effect, reminding us that our fight is not with one another. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, principalities, cosmic powers, and forces of darkness." Putting it in more familiar language, we might think of these forces as that which is not of God, and so not of love, as the things that people do when they are estranged from God's love, and the consequences of their actions when they're in that space, as things that hinder relationships with one another and the planet. And it's anything we look at and think, it shouldn't be this way, and is everything that breaks our hearts. There's no shortage of powers that we wrestle against. But God has put us on this earth to be allies in overcoming these things. Helpers, as it says in the creation story, when God introduced a second human to come alongside the first. We're not meant to wrestle with one another, but for one another. We're meant to see that our common bond, that we are all loved by God and connected through our belovedness, is a force more powerful than any of our divisions. And yet, on a daily basis, we take up battles with each other rather than going after the real problems at hand. For example, we know our country suffers from racial injustice that is so embedded in our history that it's hard to see how deeply it touches every aspect of our lives. A recent survey showed that 3/4 of Americans think that racial discrimination in this country is a problem. We know what the problem is, but notice how quickly we turn it into a fight against each other. We blame some people for not getting over it, others for being ignorant, and others for not approaching it in the right way. Scarcely do we look at it as a common threat, bigger than any one of us, that requires our mass collaboration and our love to overcome. Or think about the ways it plays out in the tensions right now between political tribes, and how it takes our attention away from actual issues like violence, poverty, and addiction. Or consider how much this kind of thing happens in our relationships. My colleague tells a story about how he and his wife were on a lake canoeing when an unexpected storm came in. They started bickering about the best way to get back and why they were out there in the first place. But as the rain started falling on them, irrespective of their argument, it hit them how silly they were being for arguing when they should be paddling. The storm was the problem, right? Not the other person. But it's harder to get mad at a storm. And if we think about challenges we have in relationships, whether it's a financial crisis, a problem with one's child, or an illness, often it's easier to make our issue with the other people involved rather than the source of what's troubling us. We do, in fact, wrestle with flesh and blood in so many places that it can be discouraging. We may at times even think about praying for an alien invasion. But today, there's great encouragement to be found by the simple fact that we are here. Today, against the odds, we are 4 worshiping communities in downtown Rockford coming together as one. Now you might say, well, that's what churches are supposed to do. The church was created to be one body in Christ. But as we know, churches, since Paul's day, have had trouble with this. The early church had disputes over circumcision and what foods people could eat. Today, we draw lines over praise bands versus hymns. On more serious disagreements around marriage and ordination, we talk about each other more than we talk to each other. And ministers have at times been the worst offenders in not modeling this spirit of unity. I remember in my first call being told, pastors in this town don't work together. It felt like a coup when the Methodist minister invited me to lunch. Which is to say that what we're doing here today is very special. A modern miracle, if you will. A decade ago, our congregations came together because this neighborhood wasn't doing well. Our churches set aside turf, differences, and the need to compete to come together and seek its well-being. Since the start of the Jeremiah development, we've renovated 5 houses, reclaiming blocks from blight and conditions that enable crime, while also promoting mixed-income housing. We planted and tend a community garden that adds beauty and conveys value and is a place where neighbors can come and get fresh produce. In our now annual Love Rockford, we throw an event where people get help with things like free haircuts and clothes while connecting to many supportive services in the city. These are just a few of the things we do together. And looking ahead, we are pursuing the creation of more communal spaces, as well as economic development that feeds back into the neighborhood and creates jobs for people who live in it. It's an exciting time to be working together. And it's all deepened by the fact that we don't just work together. We worship together. We've chosen to get over our liturgical differences, the way we do it, our styles and preferences, to come together in one of the most sacred acts of breaking bread and asking God, who is the source of our unity, to bring about the oneness that we so desire. This is holy work. It's one of the most important things our churches can do, because we're most holy, holy the church, when we come together like this. And if we can come together and achieve unity against the odds here, why not in other areas? Why not in politics, school districts, marriages, and organizations? With God's help and with our allies in mind, what could happen? Inspired by what we share here today, we can ask God to help us see the people with whom we're frustrated or fighting, the flesh and blood we wrestle with, as neighbors and possible allies. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Nonviolence does not seek to defeat or humiliate the opponent, but to win his friendship and understanding." Looking at the inherent goodness and possibility of those with whom we interact is a unique, if not transformative, stance. And if there are people who are hard to see in this way, as Paul suggests in the reading, we can pray. Pray for them. Pray for the real issue at hand. And pray for a shift in our perception. As we continue in our worship, let us rejoice that it doesn't have to come to aliens and Armageddon for us to see our true allies. It can start with a neighborhood that needs love, with some bread and wine, with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.